gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, a viper came out by reason of the heat and fastened on his hand. It is written, he expounded the matter, testifying the kingdom of God and persuading them concerning Jesus. It is written, and some believe the things that were heard, and some disbelieve. It is written, and he abode 2 whole years in his own hired dwelling, and received all that went in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, with all boldness, none forbidding him.
For God is just a prayer away.
Go thou unto this people and say, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. In times of great doubt, when earth's trials press hard, and they seem all too much to endure, there's a comforting word in the scripture of truth, foundation of God standeth sure. Why then should we fear, though earth be removed? For God's children in Christ are secure. On the rock we are safe, though the storm rages wild, the foundation of God standeth sure. In glory at last we shall praise our dear Lord, when we meet with the saved and the pure, and the glorious song we shall sing over there. The foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God standeth sure. No matter what else shall crumble away, the foundation of God standeth sure. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, Rome at Last, from Acts 28. Paul said, I must also see Rome. The Lord said, so must you also bear witness at Rome. An angel said, fear not, Paul, thou must stand before Caesar. Luke said, and so we came to Rome. Acts chapter 28 tells us how he got there. He was sent as a prisoner, and so we find him here in Acts 28, on the way, a victim of shipwreck. 276 survivors of the shipwreck stood on the beach on the island of Melita, 20 miles long and 12 miles wide, soaked to the skin from swimming ashore and shivering in the rain. And the barbarians showed them no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received them all. The reason for such kindness was the appearance of an angel who stood by Paul in the night during a storm at sea and said, fear not, Paul, thou must stand before Caesar, and God has granted all them that sail with you, but you must be cast on a certain island. These barbarians had no idea that millions of people would read of their act of kindness for the next 2,000 years because they kindled a fire for victims of a shipwreck. We also need to kindle fires of kindness today for the victims of spiritual shipwreck. One fire we can kindle that will warm chilled and frozen hearts is in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, the apostles were gathered together, and the Holy Spirit descended out of heaven and tongues like as of fire sat upon the heads of the apostles. Those tongues of fire made it possible for them to preach the word of God as the Spirit gave them utterance. Today we kindle a fire each week on this broadcast by preaching the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The preaching of the gospel on the day of Pentecost will still set people's hearts on fire, even if their wood is wet. If we preach like Jeremiah in chapter 20, when he said, "By his word in my heart, like a burning fire, shut up in my bones." Ladies and gentlemen, we need preachers today who will preach with fire in their hearts. Now when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out by reason of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous creature hanging from his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped from the sea, yet justice suffered him not to live." The barbarians believed when a bad thing happens to a person, he is getting paid back for some wrong he did in the past. However, it may seem a strange commentary on the barbarians who had never read the Bible and were not Christians, and yet evidently had some kind of a conscience and feeling of judgment that will come to all men because of sin. And so they thought, since Paul was in custody, he, being a murderer, was getting his just deserts. He surely will swell up and drop dead. Today we live in what could be called a society without a conscience. Many feel no sense of wrongdoing at all. Drive-by shootings, all manner of hideous murders being committed, and the criminal having no feeling of remorse whatever. Paul speaks of those days when he tells Timothy about the character of men in the last days in 1 Timothy. "For the Spirit saith expressly that in later times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. Few and far between are those who are persuaded today." Before World War II, someone asked President Roosevelt why he did not talk to Hitler and Mussolini and try to get them off this collision course to the war. His reply was, "Talking to those two was like talking to a couple of mad dogs." Paul again in 2 Timothy 4 says, "But now this will happen in the last days. Grievous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In a world gone mad over violent movies, drug addiction, alternate lifestyles and sex, passing out condoms to school children, murder by abortion, drive-by shootings, child abuse and child abductions, I cannot help but feel that as far as the world is generally concerned, my message from week to week is preached for the benefit of a society who probably are not listening anyway." The barbarians were surprised when Paul shook off the creature into the fire. This was no surprise to Paul. In the Great Commission, according to Mark 16, Jesus predicted the apostles were protected from the bite of serpents. And it is needful to mention these barbarians were called barbarians because they did not speak Greek, which was the language of the people. Now, we have more sophisticated barbarians today. The modern-day barbarian are those who will neither read, hear, nor understand the Word of God. Signs of the times. Paul shook off the creature into the fire and took no harm. Did a poisonous snake ever fasten itself on your hand? Did you ever shake him off? The devil is called the old serpent, the devil and Satan. Shake off that creature into the fire. I can see that the serpent has fastened himself to many a hand, as I note how their fingers are stained brown. The serpent has fastened itself on their hand, and it is a hard habit to shake off. Shake him off into the fire. The old serpent fastened himself to the hand that performs abortion. Shake him off. Shake him off into the fire. Obviously, the serpent has fastened upon the hand of the person who sticks a needle in his arm. Shake him off. Shake off the creature into the fire. Many are the vipers that fasten themselves on the hand. There is the viper of indifference, the viper of prejudice, as well as the viper of unbelief. Shake him off. Shake off the serpent into the fire. And so when Paul demonstrated his apostolic powers regarding the serpent and the healing of some sick, the barbarians showed them great kindness and helped them continue their trip to Rome. Luke says, 3 months after the shipwreck, we set sail in a ship of Alexandria to complete the journey to Rome. Now here is a strange coincidence. The ship that was wrecked, according to the previous chapter, was also a ship of Alexandria. The first ship of Alexandria was wrecked, and the second ship of Alexandria brought them safely to Rome. Sometimes two people on the voyage of life have similar results. There is a poem that tells the story. One ship sails east, another sails west, by the selfsame winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sail and not the gale that determines the way they go. Like the winds of the sea are the ways of time, as we journey on through life, 'tis the set of the soul that determines the goal and not the calm or the strife. The big difference in one person and another is the fact that some have set their sail toward heaven and some have set their sails toward hell. Notice also the first ship of Alexandria weathered many a violent storm and survived until they tried to beach the ship on the island of Melita. In a similar manner, the old ship of Zion can weather all manner of storms and remain afloat until they get too close to the world. Is it not true today? There is not a lot of difference in the lifestyle of the world and many of the members of the church who have beached themselves on the world. When the ship arrived on the mainland at Puteoli, they found brethren who besought Paul to stay with them 7 days. No doubt 7 days would give them one Lord's Day where they might hear him preach and have the opportunity to observe the Lord's Supper with him. And then there were many of the Christians from Rome, hearing that Paul was coming, went out to meet this hero. They had heard of him and read his epistle to the Romans and were anxious to see him. Paul was glad to see them and took courage that he had so many friends at Rome. However, there's a sad note to their friendship. Paul would be 2 years in this first imprisonment at Rome in his own rented house, awaiting trial with a soldier that guarded him. Paul referred to that trial before Nero in 2 Timothy 4. At my first defense, no one took my part, for all forsook me. May it not be laid to their account. It was easy to go on a long trip out of town to see the hero who wrote the book of Romans, and now they would go a long way out of town to avoid seeing him when he was in jail. We all enjoy our fair-weather friends, but don't depend on them. A man told me one time, I'm on your side, but I'm not going to say anything. When you have friends like that, you don't need any enemies. However, Paul was not entirely alone. He said in the next verse, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me." And in Psalms 91, the psalmist says, "Under his wings shall you trust." The gospel song informs us, under his wings my soul shall abide. Under his wings my soul shall abide forever, that through the Lord the gospel might be fully proclaimed, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And now concerning 2 years while waiting trial, upon his arrival in Rome, after 3 days, he called together the chiefs of the Jews and told them of his arrival and explained why he was chained to a Roman soldier. The apostle was bound, but as he said in 2 Timothy, the word of God is not bound. It was while he awaited trial that he wrote the epistles of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, and perhaps even Hebrews, read by millions for the past 2,000 years. Paul was bound, but the word of God was not bound. Now the Jews were not concerned about the chain that held Paul down, but they did say they wanted to hear him concerning this sect that was everywhere spoken against. In that day it seemed that people looked upon the church as a sect, and the same thing is true today. Whenever people hear of the New Testament church, it is regarded as a sect. The real thing always seems very odd. It was that way in the days of the apostles, and nothing has changed since that day. In 1 Peter 4:14 and 16, the apostle said, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. And if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name." Then when they appointed him a day, there were many who came to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded the matter and testified the kingdom of God and persuaded them from morning till evening. Paul preached unto them day after day. But again I ask, what did he preach? Well, since he wrote Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon, and Hebrews, we have some idea of the things he concluded in his message. One of the areas he must have touched on was that marvelous passage he would write to the Ephesians, the 4th chapter, about the program for unity when he said, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is in all and through all, and in you all, one body." That means there's one church. Paul could remind them how he said of Christ in Colossians, "He is the head of the body." Since a body can only have one head, there is only one church. A head with several bodies is a monstrosity. One hope. Christ is the only hope that we have of salvation. There is none other. And if Jesus should fail, there is none other. One Spirit. Jesus told the apostles, "The Holy Spirit, when he is come, shall guide you into all the truth." Now the Bible is the Word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. That book declares one faith. People ask sometimes, "Well, of what faith are you?" Ladies and gentlemen, there is only one faith mentioned in the Bible. One baptism. The purpose of that baptism is the one mentioned in Acts 2:38. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The method used is in Acts 8:38. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they came up out of the water. One God and Father of all. That one God is easy to identify. He is the God in the Word of God who has an only begotten Son. That's the one who is the real God. Another part of Paul's message is Philippians 1, as we see the effect of his message on the Praetorian Guard when he said, "My bonds became manifest in Christ throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to all the rest." So, as Paul taught and also wrote the epistle to the Ephesians, the guard each day heard about the Christian warfare. The soldier on the other end of the chain provides a good illustration of the Christian armor, as Paul spoke of the shield of faith and all the rest of it. Then when he mentioned the sword of the Spirit, some of those soldiers got the point. As they heard him day by day, in a period of 2 years, the constant changing of the guard were bombarded with the gospel message from the Lord's most able evangelist, and it most certainly would have taken its toll because Paul would have taken advantage of it. The Praetorian Guard thought Paul was their prisoner, when in fact they were his captive audience. Paul may have been on one end of the chain, but the soldier who guarded him was on the other end of the chain. And it is most reasonable to think that some of the Praetorian Guard became soldiers of the cross. Look at Philippians 1, 12 and 13. "Now would have you know, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather, unto the progress of the gospel, so that my bonds became manifest in Christ through the whole Praetorian Guard and to all the rest, and that most of the brethren in the Lord, being confident through my bonds, are more abundantly bold to speak the word of God without fear." Then there is also some advice in Colossians 3. "If ye be raised together with Christ, set your affections on things that are above and not on the things of the earth. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also be manifested with him in glory." The results of all this teaching was the fact that some believed the things that were spoken, and some disbelieved. Isaiah speaks of this rejection of truth in his Old Testament passage in Isaiah 6, beginning with the 9th verse. And the amazing thing about that prophecy is his words in the Old Testament are repeated in part 6 times in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Such an amazing rejection of truth bears repeating. Listen to Isaiah again. "Go and tell this people, hear you indeed, and understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and cannot be healed." Ladies and gentlemen, one way or the other, this is the most important decision everyone will ever make who hears the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it is written, so let it be done. ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Until next week at this same time, tell somebody somehow in some way that God is just a prayer away.
God is just a prayer.